Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. We have a great worship service planned for all of you guys, so I hope you're ready to worship. So we're going to start with an opening prayer, but just a couple of announcements. One, if you look on the pew in front of you, there's attendance cards. You could go ahead and fill those out now, and then at the end of service, you'll be passing them to the outside aisle. We'll have two young people picking them up. So if you're in these middle pews, to the outside aisle. If you're in the overflow rooms, you pass it to the inside, and that way two people can get those cards. It's confusing for us. We're trying to learn, but we're getting there. Kendall has great song service ready for us, and Russell will be bringing us the lesson of cross culture. So want each and every one of you to pay attention. If you have your phones on, turn them off. Be prepared to listen, except for those online. Don't turn your phones off. Stay watching if you're online. I think that is all we have for this morning. Let's go ahead and begin with the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning preparing for our worship service with you. We pray that everything that we do today is pleasing in your sight, and that you be with each and every one of the people that are bringing the lesson, helping to lead the songs, and you be with us as we pray and we focus on you. We pray that you forgive each and every one of us of our sins, and we thank you for the many blessings you've given us, especially for your son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
I noticed when I stood up here that Kevin and I have extremely similar shoes on. His are blue, mine are brown. I know you can't tell that at home, but. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He took my burdens all away, up to a brighter day. He gave me a song, a wonderful song, a wonderful song I now can sing. In my heart joy bells ring. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. He gave me a song to sing about. He lifted me from sin and doubt. Oh, praise his name, he is my king. A wonderful song he is to me. Brighter the way grows every day, walking the heavenly way. He gave me a song. A wonderful song I now can sing. Praises to him, my king. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. He gave me a song to sing about. He lifted me from sin and doubt. Oh, praise his name. Song. And some of these days in that fair land, sing with the chorus grand. He gave me a song. wonderful song. He gave me a song to sing about. He lifted me from sin and doubt. Oh, praise his name. He is my king. A wonderful song he is to me. Alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. Shh, there in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood. Death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
All right, today's scripture reading is from Acts 2, verses 40 through 47. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian? We have a lot of pictures in nature that can teach us a lot of lessons. You're probably familiar with seeing geese fly south in their migration, and they'll be flying in a pattern of a V. And we all know that the reason they do that is so that they get an uplift from the one that's in front that actually helps them go further and further. They go 71% further because they're in that pattern with that uplift. If you get behind, if they just, you know, it would make more sense if they just made a train and they just flew through the air. But if you're behind the other one, then you actually get a downdraft and it pushes you down and it makes it harder. So a lot of us, I remember when I learned how to water ski, if you stay right behind the boat, you're in the wake and it's not pleasant, right? You know, you're bouncing up and down, your teeth are chattering. It's not as a fun place to be as to be out where the water is smooth and just peaceful. That's where you want to be. And I remember sometimes you learn how to go across that wake to the other side successfully, but I had a bunch of trouble at first, right? So they're in this pattern and they're lifting each other up. And we also know that the lead goose, when it gets tired, will fall back and another one will take its place. They mate for life. Family is important. And if one of the geese gets sick or injured and falls out of formation, two geese will go with that one and they will stay with them until they either get well or they die, and then they go back and join the group. And they have a direction that they usually fly. They all know what that is. Sometimes when we see these pictures in nature, it makes me think, you know, maybe the church needs to get some goose sense. Because we get a picture of leadership and community and taking care of each other and the uplift. You've come to services this morning, and when you leave, there should be an uplift. And if there's not, it's probably not because of the other people. It may be because you're trying to line up behind somebody and you're in the wake, right? So before you blame everybody else, think about everybody plays a part in making sure that we're flying in the right direction. And it's important. It's important in the world today. Did you know from, according to Christian Chronicle, between 2006 and 2016, in our fellowship, in the Church of Christ, each of those years, 58 churches closed their doors. Now, that doesn't mean some opened up, each year, from 2006 to 2016, 58 churches closed their doors. So people are looking for new places to go, a new church to belong to. And when we think about what the church is supposed to be like, we need to realize that in the New Testament, we see a perfect portrait of what the New Testament church is supposed to be. And here in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, we see three priorities of the church that we need to make sure we're in the grip of, because we are to be cross-cultural Christians. We are to be People should be able to come amongst us just like we're looking at this picture and saying, oh, they're getting an updraft. They're taking each other's place. If one gets sick, the other, we know what they do. It's straightforward, it's simple, it's fascinating. People should be able to be around us and say, that's what a church is supposed to look like, sound like, maybe even smell like. I don't know. That's what a church is supposed to be. And if we're not flying in the right formation, let's get in the right formation. And if we're not taking care of the ones who are sick and injured, let's do that. And if we're not doing our part in the leadership, let's do that. And if we're always trying to go the wrong direction, they say that when they get out of formation, they realize it and they get back. Sometimes we need to make sure we're in the right alignment as the church and we're all doing our part. If you come this morning and you leave as fast as you can and nobody gets to know your name and nobody knows anything about you, you're not in the right formation. And if you come and you don't seek out those people who are new, you're not in the right formation. So what's it all about? Let's look at these three priorities for cross-cultural church today. So we're in a series. If you're visiting with us for the first time or you're visiting somebody and you haven't been here, we looked at Jesus, His example. He went to the cross and He gave up His will and He gave up His life and He gave up His comfort. And after the cross, He takes His disciples from the point that they're at, they're in hiding, to the places they need to be, and they have to conquer their fears and their doubts and their regrets. And they have to go instead of hiding out. They need to go out into the world and spread the good news, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. We see this pattern of cross-cultural people, and they rejoice. They got together in Jesus ascends, and they go to the temple courts, and they're rejoicing. They have this deep joy. And then last week we looked at, as the New Testament was born on the day of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost was the festival of first fruits, and we see this New Testament church be born. Its origin story is given. And they are people who focus on Jesus, who pray to the Father, and who are empowered by the Spirit. And if we're led by the Spirit, we need to keep in step with the Spirit. And so they say, what must we do to be saved? And Peter tells them, repent and be baptized. Your sins will be washed away, and you'll be given the gift of the Spirit. And he urged them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And 3,000 people are added. And in the book of Acts, we're going to see God adds, and God adds, and then God starts multiplying. And it grows from Acts chapter 2 to, by the time we get to Acts chapter 12, there's about, they say, close to 25,000 believers. It explodes. But what did that church look like, smell like, act like? First of all, it gives us a statement in verse 42 that is going to be expounded upon in the rest of the verses. So this is the big umbrella at the beginning, and it focuses on these four actions that we're going to look at as three priorities. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were a people who were humbly learning what God wanted them to know. And they were together. They shared a common experience, and they leaned on each other, and they helped each other, just like the gooses, whatever. Go help the one that's injured. All right? Y'all have fun with that. And the breaking of bread, sometimes it was a common meal in this context, sometimes it was the Lord's Supper. I think here it's talking about the Lord's Supper. And prayer, they worshiped. That's what we're going to look at. Those three things. Maturing humbly, fellowship, and worship. The church matured humbly. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. So they were listening to the teaching of the apostles, and the apostles were doing miracles to confirm the word, to say, what we're saying is from God. And those miracles were used to confirm the word because it was just spoken at that time. Now we have the written word confirmed by the Spirit, but it's complete. This is how we grow humbly, maturing in this word, giving time to the study and understanding of God's will. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That was their authority. They made sure they were hearing what God... They didn't need to hear what other groups were saying. They wanted to know, what are the apostles saying about Jesus? Because they're the ones at that moment that had the authority. Now we have this. Everything we need for life and godliness is here, Peter tells us. This word is inspired, God-breathed, and useful for teaching, correcting. It gives us everything we need. You don't add to it. You don't take away from it. Some things belong to God. Some things belong to us. This belongs to us, His revealed will. If it says it, that settles it. If I begin to talk about something, you should quickly say, book, chapter, and verse. Where is it? Where does it teach that in Scripture? We need to make sure that this is our authority. Not Russell says. This is not Simon says. This is not Russell says. This is God says. This is the sword, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're going to be judged by this Word. Our lives will change if we invest ourselves in this Word. They were doing that by going to the temple courts and listening. They're in this area that's acres and acres and acres, this temple complex. And there's some, especially by Solomon's porch, there's areas where people just came to learn all kinds of stuff. There would be teachers teaching. And we're told that they humbly matured because every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So we see this pattern in the New Testament church where they came together to learn from the apostles what they were teaching. They wanted to know, what are we supposed to be like? How are we supposed to worship? What are we supposed to emphasize? And the apostles are teaching them to observe everything. Jesus said, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Greek, that's in the possession of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You don't belong to you. You don't belong to anybody else. You belong to God if you're a Christian. And teach them to observe all things. They're teaching them to observe all things. And every day, they were in the temple courts learning, humbly accepting. They didn't raise their hands and say, wait a minute. They accepted. Later on, we'll hear the Bereans were more noble character in Acts. It says they were more noble character because they received the word with readiness and they searched the Scriptures to make sure what they were being taught was true. They received the word, don't forget this one, they received the word with readiness. Just like you right now, you're receiving this word with readiness. This says don't have a dusty Bible on a coffee table. Get into the word. If you want to grow as a Christian, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of Christ. You want to have a stronger faith? You want to have a weaker faith? Dusty Bible on a coffee table. You want to have a strong faith? Take this thing up on a daily basis and dig into it. It will change everything for you. Don't just come listen to me. Just don't listen to somebody on YouTube. Study the Word of God yourself. And then they went from house to house and they ate. And what do you think they talked about? The apostles' teaching. What they were learning. They were helping each other grow. They were continually talking about and growing in the Word of God. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The church grew because they not only were listening and studying. They talked about Jesus. They were talking about their faith. They were sharing with other people. And some people are like, what are you going to the temple every day for? Why are all these people coming over? Mom and Dad, why are you having all these people over? Some of them stink. Some of them are lower class. Some of them are Gentiles. Why are we Jews having Gentiles in our house? They're asking all kinds of questions about what's going on. And they're sharing their faith. And the church is growing because they're sharing their faith. You want to hear a statistic that ought to wake you up? Only 8% of Christians will talk about Jesus to someone else this week. 33% will only talk about Jesus this month, says Barnum. That's staggering to me. They were talking about Jesus all the time. That's cross-cultural Christianity. We talk about Jesus because that's where the power is. The world can say the church needs to have this entertainment or they need to do this or that to grow. No, we just need to start talking about Jesus more. It worked then. It will work now. Trust God. Just talk to people about Jesus. Don't be annoying. Don't bang people over the head with your 66 books. Just be real. And what did I say? 66. What was it? What did I say last week? I get to the good part. 72. I think 66% of people that are unchurched will tell you, we're not going to church. But 72%, if your faith is real, they're interested in talking to you about your faith. People will talk to you if they know Jesus is real to you. How are they going to know if Jesus is real to you if you don't talk about it? But they'll know if he's real or not once you start talking. They humbly matured. Are you humbly growing to observe everything that Jesus teaches you? And the church fellowship consistently. They met together. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions and gave to everyone as they had need. They were the geese that came down and took care of the one that was injured. They saw a need and did something about it. They saw someone that was hurting and they reached out. They met together and had everything in common. And not only do we need to get some goose sense, sometimes we just need to get some kid sense. Have you ever watched kids? When other kids are around them, they teach us a lot about community. Now, Ava usually comes to our house, and it's Dee Dee and the Three Stooges that are there, right? There's not a lot of other kids around. And we have a new family that moved next door, and they got 5 kids. And 3 of them are close to her age. And so they were asking, when's Ava going to be here? And Ava's asking, when are they going to be home? Because they're gone a lot. And so about a week ago, we were all there at the same time. And so they're playing outside. And Ava and Dee Dee are in the driveway. And they've got an empty pool. And she comes and gets her Connect sand. And then ever so often, she's coming in the house. She's getting containers. She's getting different toys. And she's taking all that stuff outside. And she gets 5 of her dolls in her arms, and she takes them outside. And I come outside, and they're taking pictures. Each of those kids that are in our driveway is now having a doll. And Dee Dee's got a doll. And they're taking pictures. And I'm like, I'm sorry she didn't have 6. I'm glad she didn't have 6 dolls. I'd be in the picture. But what do kids do? They just play together. She wanted to share every toy. If she could have took our whole house from the inside out, that's what she would have done. Because I have this, I have that, I want to share it with you. And she's learning stuff from them. Isn't that what community is about? Why don't we get back to just simply, I'm here today to worship God. I'm here to learn about God. And I'm here to be in the community, to fly in the V shape, to be like a kid and just, how are you? How you're doing? They don't worry about all the stuff we worry about. They're just kids. Why can't we just be Jesus' kids? Are you in Christ? I'm in Christ. We got so much in common. Come here, let me give you a hug. Come here, let me encourage you. Why do we have people coming to church and running as quick as they can? Because they don't want to come in contact with too many church people. I'm not talking about COVID. I'm not talking about any of that. We've been that way for a long time, before COVID. I don't want to get too involved. I don't want somebody to invite me to lunch. Kids don't do that. If Ava's got popsicles in the freezer, they coming out, right? She's going to share whatever she can share because that's what kids do. You're a Jesus kid. That's what we do. We share. We reach out. We don't worry about the things we worry about. We got to get back to being that way. That's what cross-cultural Christians do. They fellowship consistently. They met whenever they could. They were around each other. When I was in Huntsville, I told this story before, but I baptized a girl that was a teenager, and a lot of other teenagers were at the office. We were planning some retreat or something, and she saw all the cars, and she made her mom stop at the church because she was afraid she was missing out on something. That's the spirit that we should have. We want to be around each other because we don't want to miss out on the enthusiasm, the energy, the charge we get. It's a special place. We got to make sure we make this place like that. We get the, when we come to church, we get the uplift. If you're not getting that and something's wrong with us, let us know so we can fix that. If something's wrong with you, fix that. But we are meant to be together. God's church, from the very beginning, what was the main goal when Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, I pray not only for them, but for those who believe on me through their word, that they be one as I am in you and you are in me. What did Jesus pray for? Unity. So they will know, the world will know, that you sent me. Get this, okay, be patient with me here so you get this. Our witness, I said it, new word, witness helps our witness. When we are with each other, that dynamic is a witness. Make them one as I am in you and you are in me, so the world will know that you sent me. Our witness creates a witness. Are we with it? I think so. We got a lot of good things going on in this church. And thank the Lord for that. But we can always improve. And we can always be better. And we've always got geese flying off that we need to go take care of. And sometimes it's not the front door that's the problem in the churches. It's the back door. Too many people leaving and we're not going out there to get them. Let's be childlike. Finally, he says, the church worshiped faithfully, praising God and enjoying favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer, and they praised God. They worshiped God. One thing I'd like us to change is we often will say, we're going to church. And that's true, but we are the church. We're going to worship. We're going to study. Let your kids hear you say, we're going to worship. Because when people ask them, what does the church do? What is the church about? We should want them to say, they study the Bible. They worship God. They're always hugging on each other and being nice to each other. That's what we want them to pick up. But we want them to know, we the church come together to worship God. The way we sing, we applaud God. In sign language, the sign for praise is clapping hands. We are a people who worship. And we take the Lord's Supper. We pray. We have our dependence on God the Father. But we need to be a people who hunger and thirst and strive and demand true worship that's in truth. And we know what that is. It's giving, it's praying, it's studying the Word. It's the components, those acts of worship that we practice. That's what you look for in a cross-cultural church. When you come here and you leave here, we want you to feel like you've worshiped. If you don't, come talk to the elders and say, we got to fix something. Either something's wrong with us or something's wrong with me, but let's fix this. Because we want people to come to a place that worships God, praises God, gets excited and enthusiastic. People in the world today, in a lot of quote-unquote churches in the denominational world, are trying to figure out, how can we get people to come to our church? We need this entertainment. We need this special strategy. We need these special programs. What we need to get back to is our roots. And what do our roots say? Be devoted to the Word, be devoted to one another, and be devoted to God. That's what I want this place to be. That's a vibrant church. That's a church that people in the community will come around and they will be drawn to, because that's the way God designed it. And we read about it in these simple verses. Cross-cultural Christians, the church family. Another picture in nature, I don't know if you've seen this on YouTube, it's called Battle at Kruger. It is a scene of the Cape Buffalo, and there's some lions. They're near water, and this female lion with some cubs are going to go after one of the little buffalo calves. And so they run after him and get the buffalo moving. You can go on YouTube, not now, later, and watch it. It's about 8 minutes long. It's a fascinating story. It's, I think it was 2000, this has been a while, seven or something like that, when they captured this. They made some movies, and National Geographic has some stuff on it. But these lions attack this calf, and they go into the water. And so you think the calf is done, and all of a sudden, as they're trying to pull on it, there's two alligators that get involved. And they're trying to get the calf away from the lions. The lions get the calf on the ground. So the alligators lost. The lions won. And you think, that calf is toast. This thing is over. And then this buffalo community, these Cape buffalo, all begin to come together in a herd and threaten a stampede on these lions. And you get this picture at the end of, after this buffalo has tossed a lion in the air and chased off another lion, and some other buffalo have chased some others, he gets the lion to let go of the calf, and the calf survives. What kind of squad do you want to belong to? What kind of team do you want to be? I hope that if I'm getting eaten up, that you guys got my back. I told you before about the time some guys were in high school were chasing my car because the guy in the back seat said something he wasn't supposed to say, and they pinned our car in. I was driving, and they dragged me out of the car. My friends inside shut the door and locked themselves in. They were no longer my friends. Anyway. That's why I learned karate. Okay. But what kind of team do you want to be a part of? I want to be a part of a team that's got my back. People in the world will gravitate to that kind of team. Think about the great teams in history. God designed us to be a great team, be a part of that team. But do your part. Devote yourself to the Word. Devote yourself to one another. And devote yourself to worshiping God. The closer we get to God, the closer we will be with each other. If I'm getting close to God, you're getting close to the world, guess what? We're going to stay far away. The closer we get to God, the closer we get to each other. That's God's idea for the church. Not some sophisticated program. And I like the new renovation. But you know what's more important than anything we've done? Is being the church we read about in this text. That'll make the world say, wow. Maybe you're not a part of the church because you haven't become a Christian. You believe, but you haven't repented. You haven't made that confession. You haven't been baptized. We want you to take that step and then progress in your discipleship with Jesus as we sing.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. Just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him mar the chosen one. sin that held him there until
morning. So I have a question for you. Which one do you think is more powerful? Memories or forgetfulness? I know it's a tough question. It was something that prompted me to think about when we take the Lord's Supper, you know, we think about how memories affect us. Memories can change us. Memories can prompt us to do things. But what happens a lot of times with memories? We forget them. And if you ever question that about God's people, just read the book of Judges. All it took was a few generations and they completely forgot who God was. So one of the things that Jesus instituted was the Lord's Supper, as he calls us to do, to meet every week, and to do one thing, to remember me, to remember who I was, remember what I did, and to connect with that in how it changes you. If we forget that, we will forget who we are and whose we are. So as we take this communion, let's remember who Christ was, what Christ did, how Christ connects us to God, and how that should affect us, how that should change us. Let's pray for the bread. Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have to remember you, to remember the sacrifice that was made for us, to remember the body that was given on the cross. We thank you for that sacrifice. We thank you for the life that we have. And as we take this bread, let us remember these things so we can remember you and the life that we have through you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray for the cup. Father, we again thank you for the sacrifice that was made. We thank you for this cup that represents the blood that was shed on the cross, the blood that sealed the covenant that we now have with you, and the life now that we have with you because of the shedding of blood on the cross. We pray that as we take it, we will remember you and we will reflect on our life and the life that we have with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So you remember Kevin asked you to take the cards from the pew in front of you, fill them out. If you're in the main auditorium area, you'll pass them to the outside. If you're in one of the overflow rooms that I'm pointing at right now, you'll pass them towards the inside of the auditorium, and two people are going to come and pick those up right now. I walk with the King into heavenly land, the kingdom of light, the pathway of right. Eternal his throne, forever 'twill be. Two mansions on high, a crown there for me. I walk with the King.
Hey! As we prepare to close our service this morning, first our online service will close after I lead us in prayer in just a moment. I'd like to take another opportunity to welcome all of you who are here today, and especially those of you who are visiting with us. We have one couple with us today who are family, but they haven't been here in quite some time. Johnny and Elsion Roberts are here, and if you haven't had the blessing of visiting with them yet this morning, be sure and do that. And if others are visiting with us, please stay around after services for just a few moments so we can get to know you and visit with you as well. Russell taught us about the Lord's church in the New Testament this morning, about the various elements of worship. We know that the church prayed. We know they took of the Lord's Supper. We know that they sang praises to God. We know that they preached God's word in those services. There's another element of worship that was mentioned, but we really haven't discussed much today, and that's our giving, which is a command, which is a part of our worship to God as well. We don't pass the collection plate any longer, but we have every opportunity to give just as much as we ever did. You can drop your collection in the box that's back in the foyer. We even have a slot in the door if you come to the building, there's no one here. Or you can mail your contribution in. But we need to know something about what God expects in our giving. And there are scriptures throughout the Bible about giving. The Apostle Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians when he tells us that we should give on the first day of the week when the church comes together, and that we should give as we purpose in our heart. He also says in the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verses 6 through 8, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully." And reference here is Proverbs 11 and Proverbs 22, and I said there are scriptures throughout God's word about giving. And he goes on to say, "So let each one, as he purposes in his heart, to give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." I'd like to compliment Midway on the amazing job of giving that you've done throughout the pandemic. You're an awesome church. Many churches have suffered through this period of time. Midway has had an amazing contribution from all of you. We appreciate that very much. And we want you to know that it's because of all the contributions you've made that we can do what we need to do in this community and in mission fields around the world as we try to do God's will here at Midway. Let's go to our Father in prayer as we close the online service. Father, we thank you so much for blessing us today with the blessing of gathering as your church. We thank you, Father, that you are an awesome God. We thank you for loving us and caring for us. And we thank you for sending your Son to show us the way, to teach us how to live, and to lead us to heaven when this life's over. Father, we thank you for every member of Midway, for all those who are worshiping with us today. We pray, Father, that you would bless their giving, bless us as a church to use the funds that are given to further your kingdom as you would have us to. Father, help each one of us to order our lives, to set our priorities straight, to be the kind of people that you would have us to be. Father, forgive us where we're weak. Forgive us of our sins. Strengthen us and help us to always serve you well, better each day than we did the day before. Father, thank you again for the contributions. Thank you for everyone who was with us this morning. Thank you for letting us worship you. We pray that our worship is acceptable to you. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. In his name we pray.